Okay, page 911, the Church Bible. I haven't got my glasses. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 20. Okay. An invasion of locusts. Hear this, you elders. Listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your forefathers? Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. What the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. What the young locusts have left, other locusts have eaten. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you drinkers of wine. Wail because of the new wine, for it has been snatched from your lips. A nation has invaded my land, powerful and without number. It has the teeth of a lion, the fangs of a lioness. It has laid waste my vines and ruined my fig trees. It has stripped off their bark and thrown it away, leaving their branches white. Mourn like a virgin in sackcloth, grieving for the husband of her youth. Grain offerings and drink offerings are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests are in mourning, those who minister before the Lord. The fields are ruined, the ground is dried up, the grain is destroyed, the new wine is dried up, the oil fails. Despair, you farmers, wail, you vine growers. Grieve for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is destroyed. The vine is dried up and the fig tree is withered. The pomegranate, the palm and the apple tree. All the trees of the field are dried up. Surely the joy of mankind is withered away. Put on sackcloth, O priests, and mourn. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, you who minister before my God. For the grain offerings and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Alas for that day, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Has not the food been cut off before our very eyes? Joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seeds are shriveled beneath the clods. The storehouses are in ruins. The granaries have been broken down, for the grain has dried up. How the cattle moan. The herds mill about because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep are suffering. To you, O Lord, I call, for fire has devoured the open pastures, and flames have burned up all the trees of the field. Even the wild animals pant for you. The streams of water have dried up, and fire has devoured the open pastures. Amen.
One of the background things we need to know about Joel, in a way, as we're looking at Joel, is nobody knows when it was written. There's no real clues in the book, in the three chapters, to actually tell us when it was written. So it can be written anywhere from 400 to 700 years before Christ came. So we have to take that into consideration. And it's known really for two things, and one of them is locusts. But we have to remember something about the locusts. I remember the first time Sue and I, we were taken out to a posh French restaurant in Nottingham. Fortunately, we weren't paying. We had somebody who else was paying. And on the menu, for starters, they had prawns. Well, of course, I knew what a prawn was. One of these things that you have in a prawn cocktail. And then I looked at the price. And I knew this place was expensive, but I thought, and it said 3 or 5 prawns. And it gave you a price for 3 and a price for 5. And I nearly sort of fainted at the price. But then, actually, when the prawns came, they weren't quite as big as these. They were a lot bigger than what we have in a prawn cup. Those are giant prawns. Ours were large prawns. So you can see, that's why they only had 3 or 5, depending on what you were going to have for the main course. So we tend to have the same with locusts. I think most of us think of a locust as like our grasshopper. The locusts are like that. Which, if you think about it, and it struck me, we read about John the Baptist. What did he live on? Locusts and wild honey. Well, if you take the legs off that and the wings and the head, you've got a fairly decent body to eat. Take our little grasshopper, sort of, you'd suck them rather than eat them, I think, because there just isn't anything there. So we have to think, these locusts are big. That's why they destroy everything in their path. And so there are all these different locusts, different swarms, that come in and then they will destroy, completely decimate. As it said there, they even eat the bark off trees. They are that big. And they just leave everything in their path. It says in verse 4, when the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. And what the young locusts have left, other locusts have eaten. So a fourfold feast and nothing is left. Now, if you knew it was coming, or if the country was going through problems, then some of the people might have turned to drink. But then they'd have a big problem, because in verse 5, it says, "Wake up, you drunkards and weep. Wail, all you drinkers of wine. Wail because of the new wine. It's been snatched from your lips." There wouldn't be any alcohol around to actually drink. So they would have to be going through the withdrawal symptoms from, if they were, alcoholics and Kern there, they'd be going through withdrawal symptoms. But that's what people do, of course. During times of problems, they will turn to alcohol, to drugs, to other things, to try and make their mind not think about the things that are around them. Never thinking what's going to happen when those things run out. Locusts brought wholesale destruction. And we're seeing wholesale destruction on our TV almost seemingly every day at the moment. We've got the countries that are suffering with floods. We've got Mexico having that earthquake. And I'm sure there will be others during the course of the year, and there were others before. People made homeless by monsoons. There's so much destruction. And we can't do anything about it. Some of it may be due to climate change. And it may be that, yes, we can do something about that. But I mean in the immediate. And also an earthquake. It's just the plates sliding underneath one another, or one underneath the other, and causes a jarring. America is still waiting for Los Angeles to fall into an earthquake because it's due. It's right on the line, a rift line between two plates. And one day there will be a massive earthquake there. Will cause death and destruction. So what are we to do? We who have no control. Verse 14. God says, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Alas for that day, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Has not the food been cut off before our very eyes? Joy and gladness from our God. We're called together to pray. Notice there's no sadness or gladness coming from the house of God. They're so in lament about what has gone on. But that should never stop us coming together, praying for those areas of the globe that have been struck by disaster. And you have an expression in that those verses. It talks about the day of the Lord, that very difficult day. In a way, the day is depicted like this: a day of destruction, a terrible day. Jesus said this about it: "Watch out that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ.' You will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. For such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are beginnings of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many." There have been quite a few people who have claimed to be the Messiah, the new Christ. "We can give you all that we want." There are those who are saying, well, the end times are now. That's been happening right from, back as far as you can go. And of course, the mark of the beast, the 666. The silliest one I heard about that was a man. We had an archbishop in this country called Will Lord. So they put Will and Lord, having the U as a V, underneath one another. So that's W-I-L-L and L-V-A-D. And if you add them up, you get the number 666. So he was considered to be the Antichrist, but nothing happened. So you have to be careful. People are going to say, yes, it's nowadays, but we should be living as if we are in the end times, the last days. We should be living in those times. Jesus said, nation will rise against nation. We seem to be having two nations that are having a go at each other at the moment. Donald Trump has threatened North Korea with extinction. And North Korea has threatened reprisals to America. Nations will guard against nations. There are areas in this world that have famine. We've had the earthquakes. We have the opposite of no water, too much water. And that still causes its famine in its own way. So natural disasters, not all of them are natural. I'm sure that the wars aren't natural. But spoken about by Joel, spoken about by Jesus. In a way, Jesus is the forerunner to the end times, to the times when disasters will get more common, the time when nations will war against nation, the time when Christians will be persecuted. Now, we're fortunate in Britain, we're not persecuted. In some respects, it could be even worse, we're just ignored. We're on the margin. People don't worry about us, they worry about everybody else. They often don't worry about what we stand for. We're seen as bigoted, old-fashioned. But that is the start of persecution. But we need that holy assembly, as it's called. We need to have it here. Here we do have our prayer meeting once a month on a Friday. Evening in my office, third Friday of the month. There are people in the house groups that gather. They pray as well. And let's continue on those things. But before we start descending into morbidity and depression, we know we follow a God of hope. He is the Lord of all hopefulness.
Second reading is Joel chapter 2, verses 18 to 32, and it's page 913 in the Church Bible. Then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. The Lord replied to them, I am sending you grain, new wine, and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. I will drive the northern horde far from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land. Its eastern ranks will drown in the Dead Sea, and its western ranks in the Mediterranean Sea, and its stench will go up, its smell will rise. Surely he has done great things. Do not be afraid, land of Judah, be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, you wild animals, for the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit, the fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain, the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. The day of the Lord. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls.
Thank you, Mike. Move on to the other well-known part of Joel. John the Baptist said about Jesus, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Jesus the baptizer baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And we read this in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in the upper place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The day of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. And the result of that was Peter preached his first sermon. His was in a far better place than I wrote my first sermon. But he then goes out, and part of that sermon he quotes from Joel. He says, in the last days, Joel, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. One of the things I like to do at times when I read something in the New Testament that quotes the Old is actually compare and contrast the two. And there we have the two. The only problem is you can't read it because it's too small. I knew that would happen. You've got Joel on the left and we've got Acts on the right. Okay, what Peter quoted from Joel. So we're just going to have a look at the differences. The one right in the first verse. Joel says, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit. Peter said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit. In Joel, it was a sequitur of what went on. For Peter, what happened that day was a sign of the end times. The last days had become. Jesus was forerunner of those last days. And so the Holy Spirit being poured out upon those disciples in the upper room was the beginning or part within those last days. We are still living, as I've said, in those past days. Then move on. It says, Joel says, even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days. Peter says, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. We've already mentioned about men and women will prophesy, and young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams. But Peter seems to be pushing home here that even the maidservants and the men servants will also be prophesying. Again, we can sometimes go over it and say, oh, well, it's just the servants. In Israel's culture, in Jewish culture at that time, very few of the servants were actually Jewish. You only gave yourself over to service if your family was in such dire straits, so that was all you could do. Most of the servants were in fact foreigners. They were non-Jews. Therefore, Peter's pushing home again, God through Peter, that actually the Spirit wasn't just for Jews, it was for everybody. And so it was for everybody on that day, that they all could be prophesying. Now, what is prophesying? Is it to see words into the future and tell it to somebody? The worst case of prophecy I heard was a lady who went up. I knew a man, he was a lovely Christian man, minister of a church, and he was in his 50s and he was a bachelor. And this woman went up to him and said, God has told me that I'm going to marry you and that you're going to marry me. And this minister said, you know, I get really annoyed with God and I get really angry with God. And she said, how can you be angry with God? And he said, because he tells other people my stories before he tells me. She never went back to him after that. He didn't really like her anyway. He didn't. That's not what I'm saying. He said he wouldn't have married her anyway. He was quite happy. So, but prophecy isn't fortune telling. That's how we sometimes think of it. Prophecy, if you read through most of the prophets minor prophets, the prophets we've been looking at in the Old Testament, they're just telling people what God has told them. And so prophecy is just telling people the word of God. Some even say that every sermon is a prophecy. I wouldn't go that far having preaching them. But prophecy is telling people the word of God. But it is a fact that the new order of the Spirit is for everybody, not just certain individuals. In the Old Testament, the Spirit used to come often on individuals or on small groups. It did not, wasn't a universality, even amongst the people of God. When we have the Spirit, of course, we also have the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit to be used by God through us, within the church and outside. I'm a great believer in saying that God gives us gifts to use outside the church. If we have the gift of mercy, we can use that outside. We don't have to wait to come to church on a Sunday to use those gifts. God as well, of course, talks to people through dreams. It says in there, you know, what is it? Young men have visions and old men have dreams. So there must be a crossover point. You know when you're old, when you start to dream. I can honestly put my hand up and say, I never remember my dreams. I must have them because everybody has dreams. It's the way your brain sorts out the day, apparently. But I never remember them. So I'm thinking, I'm not old because I don't dream. The only trouble is I don't have visions either. So, in effect, God talks to different people. Dreams are still valid. How did God communicate that he was coming to earth? To Joseph, it was in a dream, it says. Mary's was more the vision type of thing. Talking to the angel. So some people do remember dreams and they do have God talking to them in their dreams. Both are valid, or other ways are valid. Some people, it's God's word that speaks to them and speaks out. All of it needs to be verified by other people as God talks to them. The main thing is that the baptizer with the Holy Spirit is for all and not just a chosen few. Then we move right to the end of the quotes. Joel puts in this part, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, amongst the survivors whom the Lord calls. Peter just says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Again, I think it's God, I'm sure it's God saying, it's not just those on Zion, it's not just those in Jerusalem, it's not just the Jews. Again, the message of God is for everybody. Even the ones who we feel are the most unlikely ones, that God wants them and he will put his Spirit upon them. And the Spirit is always with us. He's there to help us. He's there to guide us. He's there that when we've read words of God, they will bring us back to our minds. I don't believe he can bring back words that we've never read or heard. Only the ones we read and heard. He could do, I suppose, as a miracle in certain situations. But the Holy Spirit, giver of Jesus, baptizer in spirit and in fire. Let's pray. Lord, at times we all need your Holy Spirit. In fact, we need to take the opportunities. Lord, help us to as well get that heart heart of God. As those words ended, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But Lord, how can people call on your name unless they have heard that name? How can people hear that name unless we tell them? Lord, help us through your Spirit living within. Amen.